Today's show is sponsored by Talkspace, the online therapy company. For a fraction of the price of traditional therapy, you can pick an experienced, licensed therapist you relate to and feel comfortable with. Each and every therapist has at least a master's degree and has completed over 3,000 hours of supervised work. To match with your perfect therapist, go to Talkspace.com/boom. And to show your support for this podcast, use code BOOM to get $30 off your first month. That's BOOM, Talkspace.com/boom, B-O-O-M.
You are Locked On Broncos, your daily podcast on the Denver Broncos, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
And the Denver Broncos have taken Super Bowl 50.
That's right. You are Locked On Broncos, and it is time to drop some knowledge. I am Chad Jensen, the publisher of MileHighHuddle.com, and with me is my co-host Luke Polglaze, a guy I go back a long ways with, a semi-pro football coach, an NFL draft analyst. Luke, how are you, my friend?
It is a long road to here, but excited to be here as well. So, yeah, it's time to talk some Broncos.
Yes, sir. We are committed to bringing you a daily podcast focused entirely on your Denver Broncos. We do it at least 5 days a week. And we're not here to just report the news. We're here to do a deep dive on your favorite team. So do us a solid and share the episodes on social media. And follow the @LockedOnBroncos Twitter account. We really need each listener to take a quick second. Find @LockedOnBroncos, click the follow button. Very important to us growing the show. And of course, the home of Locked On Broncos is Audio Boom, but be sure to subscribe on iTunes. And if you're an Android user, check out Stitcher. Another season is in the books, but with the coaching changes and the search for a new head coach, free agency, the draft, you're not going to want to miss a single episode. But it is official. Gary Kubiak said goodbye to the Denver Broncos on Monday and relinquished his job as the head coach. It was a tearful, emotional goodbye. And you could see how hard the decision has been on Kubiak. You know, he tells the story that he had set up a meeting with John Elway to speak about what had been on his mind over the weekend where the Broncos were in Kansas City for Christmas. He tried to cancel the meeting, but Elway wouldn't let him back out of the meeting and ended up going up to Kubiak's room because he knew something was eating at his old friend, his old roommate. They talked well into the night, as Kub put it. And even though Elway supports Kubiak's decision, he reportedly tried one last time Monday morning to talk Kubiak into staying before he took the podium to make his announcement. But it was bittersweet, Luke. John Elway, you know, he's had a hand in all three of Denver's world championships, but hey, so has Gary Kubiak. He'll be missed.
Yeah, he absolutely will be missed. I mean, you've got a coach who comes in, brings the team to the Super Bowl. That's nothing to be dismissed. You shouldn't look down on that by any means. But this is a guy who's kind of given his heart and soul for this team, and, you know, this team will miss him.
Yeah, and he talked about, you know, he tried to find other solutions besides retiring. You know, when he fell ill after the Atlanta Falcons game in week 5, and the team went on without him to play at San Diego that following week. He had the complex migraine situation. You know, he tried to do things a little bit different, according to him, in terms of trying to take certain things off his plate, et cetera. But after a short period of time, as he described it, he went back to his old habits. They die hard. He says he's wired to do this one way. And the impact and the wear and tear that the coaching, head coaching of the Denver Broncos has had on him, and coaching in general, has been too much to bear. And in fact, Luke, he said, you know, he's not just stepping down as the head coach, he's stepping away from coaching altogether.
Right. Well, when you're in that kind of position with Kubiak, there's really nowhere to go but away from the team. And you know, at this point, he's had a career that's been long enough, it's been storied enough, that it's not really any surprise for him to step away from the team at this point, to me, to step away from the team, not only that, but to step away from the game. And, you know, head coaching, I've talked about it before, it's a stressful position. It's a lot of responsibility. So, you know, kudos to Coach for getting where his mind is.
Exactly. Yep. So happy trails to Gary Kubiak. You know, if you think about you know, the Broncos pantheon of guys that have contributed to what this franchise represents, you know, the Mount Rushmore of the Denver Broncos, if you will, you know, you could argue that Gary Kubiak deserves one of those spots up there. But let's move on and talk about the future at head coach for the Broncos. After Gary Kubiak spoke on Monday, John Elway stood up and he answered a plethora of questions, most of which, of course, had to do with the new coaching search. Now, one thing Elway made absolutely clear, though, is that none of the current coaches on the Broncos staff, which include Rick Dennison, whom the Broncos considered once for head coach, and Wade Phillips, who was once the head coach of the Denver Broncos, no current coaches of the Broncos will be considered for the head coaching job. Does that surprise you at all, Luke? Because to me, it's no surprise, and yet it was the lead story Monday on MileHighHuddle.com.
No, it doesn't really surprise me. I mean, you're talking about a coaching staff that has an offensive coordinator in Dennison, who's pretty much the right-hand man to Kubiak. So as kind of as Kubiak goes, so he goes, and didn't really show that much as an offensive coordinator to merit the head coaching role. And then defensively, you've got Wade Phillips, who, you know, he's been a head coach. I'd be curious to know what his career winning percentage is, but I feel like it's below 500 if memory serves. But really, kind of, if you're going to have Wade Phillips involved with the team, why would you take him away from the defense? I mean, you know what he can do with that defense. You know what he's capable of in the coaching kind of realm. So in that circumstance, you know, why would you diminish your team's strength? Why would you diminish that Super Bowl defense for a coach who, you know, as I look through this, actually has a career record of 82-64. So he's 0.562 career as a head coach.
Right. And even he has described himself as, you know, a lousy head coach, but a good coordinator. And I think even at this stage in his life, he's going to be 70 years old by the time the 2017 regular season rolls around. You know, you think it was hard on Gary Kubiak at 55. For a 70-year-old man, that's, you know, not everyone can be, you know, Pete Carroll up in Seattle. Yeah, I mean, it's not a surprise. And Rick Dennison, you know, again, this is a guy the Broncos, John Elway, considered when he first took the job as the vice president of football operations in 2011 for the head coaching gig. But I think, you know, he so absolutely slammed the door on that being an option. I think that, you know, you can kind of look at how much the Broncos have struggled on the offensive side of the ball over the last 2 years under Rick Dennison as the offensive coordinator. You can point to that and say, you know, it's no surprise. Now, one thing, Luke, I thought was interesting was how John Elway talked, you know, what he said on Monday, described the process that he goes through to hire a new coach. This will be the third head coach, of course, that he's hired since returning to the Broncos. And he actually talked about a collaboration that's involved in the decision. And also an interesting kind of nugget that he dropped that I think could help us better understand what kind of coaches the Broncos are going to be combing through, what they're going to be targeting in the coming days. Here's what he said real quick.
Well, I mean, what I like to do is, you know, I don't like it just my opinion. We're going to have, you know, Matt Russell will be in the room and Joe Ellis will be in the room. And we're going to, you know, we'll have four or five other people in the room, too, that will be giving their opinions on who we talk to. But I think, obviously, when you go through this, I think the interview questions and what you want to get done and find out about the person, how they handle certain situations, you know, because a lot of times those situations come up. And so it's interesting as the longer you're in this, more of those situations come up. And so you can ask them about how he handled the different situations. So, you know, obviously there's, you know, a lot of young guys out there that have look like, you know, a lot of potential and very bright young guys. And so, you know, hopefully we can get one of those.
Bright young guys, Luke. He says, hopefully we can get one of those. And when I think of bright young coaches, the two guys that, excuse me, immediately jump to mind are the 37-year-old Kyle Shanahan, who was made an offensive coordinator at just 28 years old by Gary Kubiak back in Houston, and whom the Broncos have formally requested to interview. And, of course, I also think of the 44-year-old Vance Joseph.
Right. Well, I talked about this on the show a couple weeks ago in regards to the offensive coordinator position. But, you know, I really think that this roster is in a place right now where offensively, well, so first of all, I think you need an offensive head coach. That's just how I'm going to preface this. I think you need a coach who's going to come in, take the quarterbacks that you have on the roster and really mold them into the vision that he wants in your offense. So, you know, I said this about the offensive coordinator, but to me, this goes for the head coach as well. Is I would rather see a young coach step up into the head coach position for this team. I'd like to see a younger offensive-minded head coach who really can work with these young guys and institute his kind of coaching and offensive philosophy on this team. So to me, I'm not going to go older. I'm going to go younger, and I'm going to go offensive if I'm looking for a head coach for this team.
Well, let's flesh a few of these guys out. Let's talk about, first off, Kyle Shanahan, who seems to be at the top of Denver's list. Now, a lot of people have been quick to eliminate him as a candidate, including many colleagues of ours, that the Broncos won't even try to pursue him because of the perceived bad blood between Mike Shanahan, who's Kyle's father, and team president Joe Ellis. There was also, at some point in the past, some bad blood between Mike Shanahan and John Elway. But from what I've heard, the rift between Mike and Elway, whatever that might have been, has been bridged. But you don't know how Kyle perceives that. There could be too much water under that bridge. Who knows? But either way, clearly the Broncos have put it behind them. I mean, for them, it's in the rear view because they made him the first guy they formally requested an interview with. And if I'm Kyle, you know, one thing I have to consider and decide on, you know, I'm taking my first job as a head coach, the first opportunity to be a head coach in the NFL. Do I want that to be in the shadow of my own father's immense legacy? I mean, let's face it, Mike won two Super Bowls back-to-back in Denver, was the first head coach to actually bring a Lombardi Trophy home for Pat Bowlen. That's a lot to live up to if you're trying to grow your own legend, but there's no question he fits, Luke, with what the Broncos are looking for. And I think this week it offers the Broncos the opportunity to get in front of Kyle with the Falcons on a bye.
Right. Well, and if you look at the Falcons this year, there's no doubting that they're absolutely an offensive powerhouse. I mean, this is a team that has gone from, you know, kind of surviving with mediocre play out of the offense and, you know, mediocre play from the defense to now a team that Matt Ryan is very much an MVP candidate, if not one of the front runners. And, you know, it's great to have a guy like Julio Jones, but he's developed Shanahan has developed the rest of that offense so well. And I mean, this is an offense that just, you know, historically that Shanahan offense has just put up points. I mean, it's been historically, if you look back through through the numbers, four times in his, what, you know, 10, 11 years. I count 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. I think it's 9 years as an offensive coordinator. Right. You know, for those 9 years, he's been a top 10 scoring offense.
Yeah. And, you know, you look at what, you know, he did to the Broncos this year. I mean, this is a guy who is clearly a very savvy schemer. I mean, you and I have talked about it and lamented over the course of this entire season, Gary Kubiak's seeming inability to make adjustments in game and to game plan to exploit the opposition's weaknesses. We saw Kyle Shanahan in week 5 come out of the gates and immediately start targeting Denver's weaknesses defensively, and they blew the doors down. I mean, the final score doesn't quite tell the entire story, but the Falcons basically dominated the Broncos, and that started on the offensive side of the ball. And it would be great, Luke, to get some of that savvy, some of that energy, because, I mean, you could just feel it, what the Falcons have put on the field this year, to get some of that juice in the Mile High City.
Right. And to me, that comes down to just consistency on offense. And you look through the statistics, and there are some very good numbers here for Kyle Shanahan historically. And to me, you know, we know what he's capable of as an offensive coordinator when it comes to the passing game. But, you know, this year his offense ranked number one in net yards per attempt throwing the ball. He's had a finish at 2 in the past, at 3, at 5 league wide, a couple at 16, 1 at 10. So, you know, 7 of his 9 years, he's been top half of the league in net yards per attempt. This is a guy who knows how to just kind of scheme and craft an offense to throw the ball.
He's an exciting option. And, you know, it's no secret that he's been the guy at the top of my list, notwithstanding, you know, the different obstacles that are in the way to getting him in Denver. But listen, you know, one of the benefits we have at the Locked On Podcast Network is the opportunity to work closely with our advertising partners. Luke and I, we enjoy taking the time on our show to talk about these advertising partners and to help them reach new people. These are companies we believe in, and their support allows us to keep this content free for you, our listeners. And it's a powerful thing. It's not something that we take lightly. And we're always looking to grow our relationships. If you're listening to this show as a business owner, you'd like to reach the male demographic between the ages of 18 and 44, your company should be sponsoring this podcast. 98% of the Locked On Broncos listenership is male, 80% of which are between the ages 18 to 44. Now, our rates are very reasonable. Feel free to reach out to us at lockedonbroncos@gmail.com. We can talk about it. Now, our next guy we need to put under the microscope here is Vance Joseph. Now, he's currently the defensive coordinator of the Miami Dolphins, and this is a guy who 2 years ago really impressed John Elway. You know, he was Elway's second choice, actually, in 2015 for head coach if he couldn't convince Gary Kubiak to take the job. And there was a certain amount of salesmanship involved in Elway convincing Kubiak to take the job. But at that time, Joseph was Cincinnati's defensive backs coach, and the Bengals were not very supportive in allowing him to interview. He left Cincinnati. He's now with Miami, Adam Gase, as the defensive coordinator, and he's earned praise for his ability as a communicator, as an X's and O's schemer on game day. And with Miami playing this week, the Broncos, they're not going to be able to interview him until next week at the soonest, and that's assuming the Dolphins lose in the wild card round. But he's a defensive-minded coach here, Luke, and I know for you the first order of business would be finding an offensive guy. But he did coach under Kubiak and Wade Phillips in Houston from 2011 to 2013. If the Broncos can't get Kyle Shanahan, we'll talk about some other guys here, but if the Broncos can't get Kyle Shanahan, what are your thoughts on Vance Joseph?
Right. Well, there is, first of all, you have to look at this, and there is a certain amount of history associated with Vance Joseph. I mean, he went to college at the University of Colorado. So there's, you know, there's definitely a connection there. People are going to look at that and say, oh, you know, well, that lines up, right? That just kind of aligns with what you'd expect from a guy who's been considered in the past for this job. And, you know, Vance Joseph, a couple of years ago when he was just the defensive backs coach in Cincinnati, you know, solid coach. But what he's done this year with Miami, I'll be honest, they don't have a lot of talent on that defense.
Right.
They have talent at specific places, but for him to craft a defense that has worked to the extent that it has carried them to the playoffs, I mean, this is a team that's been without Ryan Tannehill for several weeks, and that defense has kept them, in games.
And a lot of injuries they've overcome in their own right,
yeah,
too.
Absolutely. And I mean, this is a defense that is 29th in the league in yards allowed per game. However, they're allowing just 23.8, which is right about middle of the pack. So, you know, you kind of look at that and you have to just tip your hat to him for the job he's done. I think he's a young coach. I think he's still improving. I do think he's going to be a head coach in the NFL one day. I'm just not sure that this is the year that that happens.
Yeah, as a candidate, honestly, I mean, I like some of his ties to and familiarity with guys like Kubiak and Phillips, and of course, having gone to college in Colorado. But he's a guy that I agree with you. I know the Broncos are interested in him, but I don't think he's a guy that needs a couple more years of proving it as a coordinator that, he has the wherewithal to be a head coach. But who knows? I mean, in an interview setting, all bets are off in terms of what he can do to convince John Elway and Joe Ellis and Matt Russell and that group, that brain trust, if you will, that he could be the right man for the job. But let's talk about another guy who isn't exactly he doesn't fit the young ideal that Elway talked about, but he certainly is bright. And that's Scott Linehan, the offensive coordinator of the Dallas Cowboys, who's done so many amazing things with a young rookie, Dak Prescott, that offense. He's 53 years old, still plenty young enough to be a viable head coach. There's a lot of positives, Luke, with Linehan. You know, I think about what he did with Dak Prescott this year, how much he could shape Paxton Lynch in that same vein, because they are two very similar quarterbacks in terms of what you can do with them on the field. But with Linehan, there are some negatives too. He's been a head coach once before. The St. Louis Rams hired him in 2006 and fired him at the end of 2008 after he went 11-25. But we've seen plenty of coaches who've had, minimal success or even abject failure in their first head coaching gig go on to do great things in their second opportunity, having learned so much from failure. I mean, trial and error, that's how you learn. Guys like Bill Belichick, Pete Carroll come to mind, not to mention John Fox, and even Gary Kubiak. Now, let me just say that at the time we're tracking this episode, the Cowboys have said publicly that no NFL team has requested an interview with their offensive coordinator yet. So there's that. But Luke, I know you really like Linehan as a candidate. Talk about why.
Yeah, well, I know that the head coaching record that he has is going to scare a lot of people away from him, and, you know, deservedly so. I mean, he coached 36 NFL games and won just 11 of them. Now, that's not great by any means. I don't want to excuse that for any reason whatsoever. But I mean, this is a guy who, you know, has made a resurgence this year with the Dallas Cowboys after last year dealing with basically the scraps at quarterback behind Tony Romo. I mean, last year he had almost nothing to work with offensively. And what you saw was basically what you get. You know, you didn't really get that much from him because he didn't have that much to work with when it came down to it. But if you look over the last couple of years, he did some nice work in Detroit, but this year has been kind of his magnum opus as an offensive coordinator. Sure, he's been blessed to have Zeke Elliott in that offensive line, but, you know, you look at the pieces he has on that offensive line. I mean, Doug Free was a fourth round pick. I mean, these are not all first round picks on that line. You know, Tyron Smith, Travis Frederick, Zach Martin, they're all, you know, all pro players, deservedly, all pro caliber, certainly. But, you know, he's done some work developing lesser guys. And that, I think, really is going to be a boost to any team that takes a look at him as a head coach, especially with the Broncos. They've had their struggles evaluating the offensive line. You know, he's worked with the best, so he knows what they look like and he knows what to coach to bring out in them. That's huge. And I really think you have to look at what he's done with Dak Prescott, considered one of the biggest kind of development needing quarterbacks in this draft. He was raw coming out. I loved him. I had, I think, a second or third round pick value on him, but I still thought he was incredibly raw and still needed development time. But, you know, Linehan had him pro ready and, you know, one of the best quarterbacks in the league this year in no time. And I think it's also worth it to remember that when Dallas was on the kind of verge of trading up in that first round to go grab Paxton Lynch, Scott Linehan was one of the guys pounding the table to get him.
Yeah, when you talk about, you know, developing Paxton Lynch, excuse me, and getting the most out of a Trevor Siemian, and really even just getting the most out of your quarterback situation, which is something that John Elway talked about Monday, you know, the Broncos are really, they feel pretty dang good about where they're at currently at quarterback. And even Elway, although he said he's never says never, you're not going to rule anything out absolutely, basically said that the Broncos are happy with where they're at quarterback. There are no current plans to bring in some kind of a veteran stopgap. They're going to roll with these two guys. And if you look at it through that vein, you know, when you measure the success of an NFL team, I mean, we hear, you know, the old axiom that defense wins championships. And we've seen that play out before our very eyes in Denver, no doubt about it. But we also learned the harsh lesson this time around. 2016, that without a viable quarterback who can be a difference maker on offense, who can help carry the team, you know, the defense can only get you so far, and eventually they burn out. And that's why when you think of these great defenses who have gone on to win the Super Bowl, you think of the 85 Bears, you think of the 2000 Ravens, you think about the Broncos in 2015. I mean, the Broncos don't want to follow the same suit as Baltimore and Chicago, because that those defenses, as phenomenal as they were, they eventually burned out on carrying the load for so long. And I think Elway's recognizing that. I think the focus, and you're right in this, Luke, I think the focus is going to be on an offensive-minded head coach. And I'll be honest, Linehan intrigues me. You know, I'm not scared off by the fact that, you know, he didn't have much success in St. Louis. With Mark Bolger and everything that went down there, trying to succeed kind of the greatest show on turf. I am a big believer that a lot of these coaches, you know, they learn a lot in that first opportunity as a head coach. They fall down, they bump their head, they get back up, you know, they move on to other opportunities. And when they eventually get that chance to be a head coach again, they're better for it. They've learned a lot. And who's to say that couldn't be the same case with Scott Linehan? And again, if you could look at what, as you said, Luke, what the what Linehan did with that offensive line, developing Dak Prescott in such a short amount of time. I mean, even if they could get half of that type of production out of Paxton Lynch in his second year with the Broncos, this would be a team that would be a force to be reckoned with in the AFC.
Right, and that starts with developing, you know, running backs. You know, there's no chance that Denver's going to end up with a Zeke Elliott. You know, they don't have a top four pick. There's not going to be a Zeke Elliott available when they pick in this draft. Well, I'd be shocked if there was. I'll put it that way. But, you know, they have the potential to create a running game, and we can see what Linehan can do with the run game leading to the passing game, to those play action passes. They have the threats at receiver. You know, this makes sense. You know, he worked with Calvin Johnson in Detroit. He knows what it's like to have a number one receiver like Johnson, like Dez Bryant. And so to have two bona fide receiving threats into Demaryius Thomas and Emmanuel Sanders in Denver, you know, that's a pretty big click right there. And then, I mean, if he does get hired as the head coach in Denver, you're going to have to imagine the Tony Romo to Denver narratives are going to be deafening over the however many months before the season.
Another guy, just while we're on the topic of offensive younger type coaches, a guy that I've heard bandied about a little bit amongst some colleagues in the Denver media, is Daryl Bevel, the offensive coordinator of the Seattle Seahawks. This is a guy who's 46 years old, and you know, he's yet to be a head coach. He's been an offensive coordinator twice at the pro level, once for the Minnesota Vikings from 2006 to 2010, and then, of course, with the Seattle Seahawks from 2011 up until present time. And I like this guy. I like the culture that he's kind of grown around in Seattle. When you look at the Seahawks this year and how their season started and everything kind of falling apart on the offensive line, and yet still how they've managed to keep that ship afloat and adjust and you know, really have to evolve to a point where, again, once again, here they are, a factor in the NFC. What are your thoughts on Daryl Bevel, Luke, as a possible option? He kind of fits both the young and the bright ideal that Elway talked about on Monday.
Oof. I mean, Bevel's always going to have hanging over his head that decision to throw the ball in the Super Bowl instead of run the ball. And, you know, I'm not going to boil him down to that as a coach. I think there's a lot more complexity to it, but I really do have my restrictions and kind of my kind of catches with him as a head coach. I really, if you want to talk about bad offensive lines, the Seahawks had maybe the worst line in the NFL this year. And Tom Cable, the former Raiders head coach, just struggled to even marshal that unit into a semblance of an offensive line. So Daryl Bevel, he scares me for that reason, that he can't get things in order, because you have a quarterback in Seattle in Russell Wilson who can create in chaos and make great plays happen out of nothing.
Right.
I just don't know that I see that equivalent in Denver right now.
Not my favorite fit either. And one other guy that's at the pro level I want to throw out there before we move on is Terrell Austin, who is currently the defensive coordinator for the Detroit Lions. Now, this is a guy the Broncos were interested in back in 2015 when they ended up landing on Gary Kubiak. But he ultimately withdrew his name from consideration, actually declined the opportunity to discuss the head coaching job with the Denver Broncos. And I think you look at him, again, this is a defensive-minded coach. He's done some good things in Detroit. But, Luke, this is another guy that I've heard is on the brink of feeling like he's at a point where he could go out there and be a successful head coach in the NFL.
Right. Well, you look at that first year back when he was being considered a head coach, his first year being the defensive coordinator in Detroit, and his defense was just mean across the board. You know, second in yards allowed, third in points allowed, you know, fifth in rushing touchdowns allowed, first in yards per attempt, third in interceptions, sixth in net yards attempt allowed. You know, this defense was mean. That Detroit Lions defense had, I believe at the time, lost Sue, lost Nick Fairley, and he just overcame those losses. Now, they've regressed a bit. You know, last year they struggled across the board, and this year you can't run on them. They're second in rushing touchdowns allowed, but they're 31st in passing touchdowns allowed. So, you know, he's kind of across the board as a coach. I really liked him at the time, but he hasn't really held up to that first season's kind of impact. So I think he'll be a name in consideration for a few years. I don't think the year that he becomes an NFL head coach.
Granted,
here's the thing about this year. There are so few genuine head coaching candidates, it seems like, that even a guy like Terrell Austin, who could benefit from a couple of extra years as a coordinator, is going to be a bona fide coaching candidate.
Yeah, and it does bear mentioning as well that even though he's never been a head coach, he is 51. So there's that to consider, you know, going back to the things that Elway hammered on more than once in his presser on Monday, which was youth, guys being young, and bright. Now, before we get out of here, I do want to go back to another thing Elway said. You know, you look at the Broncos as an organization, and, you know, they're one of the perennial class teams of the NFL. 8 AFC titles, you know, 3 Lombardi trophies. They won, 5 AFC West crowns in a row. And whether it's a player, a coach, you know, a front office guy, a scout, when they come to Denver, there's an immense pressure put on them to live up to the culture of expectations. And perhaps there are some coaches out there who would shy away from that. You know, I think Brock Osweiler, for example, as a player, I think he shied away from the shadow of Peyton Manning, for example, or even the shadow that John Elway cast, and the expectations that are built into being the starting quarterback of the Denver Broncos when he chose to go to Houston. It's a real factor, and one that Elway addressed on Monday. Here's what he said real quick.
Well, I mean, this is a great place to work, but the expectations are high. And, you know, those expectations have been set by Mr. Volan a long time ago. And so everybody that comes here, whether as a coach or as a player, understands that the standard is to have to, you know, to be able to compete for world championships. And so does that add a little bit more? Sure it does. But you know what? I think if you're good at what you do, I think you want that, you know, you want that challenge. You know, plus we got a great fan base. And, you know, the fan base has expectations here too. Not only do we as organization, but the fans have that same expectation. So therefore, you know, there's pressure. But they're, you know, everywhere in the country they want to win, you know, and every coach wants to win. So, you know, there's pressure everywhere. But I think the opportunity that's here because of the commitment by ownership to commit the dollars and the monetary things to be able to compete year in and year out is, you know, something that is second to none. And so that's why it's a great opportunity for somebody.
Now, Luke, the NFL, you know, it's one of the most competitive production-based businesses in the world. For most coaches, I would assume that the Broncos head coaching gig would be a dream job. But you coach football. With that level of expectation at the organizational level, at the player level, at the fan level, would it give you pause?
Well, first of all, NFL head coach has got to be one of the most stressful, demanding jobs really out there. I mean, if you think about it.
Did to Coop.
Absolutely. I mean, you look at the other major sports leagues in the U.S., and I think that of all those – the football head coach is, I would say, by far the most involved, most demanding. Sure you have, you know, games where you'll play double headers in baseball, so two games in a day, but you know, that's also 100 and whatever game schedule. Football is 16. You get 16 games to win or lose, and you're judged off that. And like we saw this past year, Chip Kelly got 1 year. You know, NFL coaches are getting just 1 year. Jim Tomsula got a year before him. So there's such a demand for you to just turn the ship around in a year or sink. And I do think that there's going to be some element of a cause for pause for some NFL head coaches. But again, you know, you're not going to be in the league for this long just reading through the list of some of these guys, of their stops as graduate assistants, then position coaches, and then coordinators. You're not doing all that if you don't want to be an NFL head coach. Every one of these guys wants to be. There's just going to be some jobs that I think are going to be a little bit more enticing necessarily than others.
Well, if you're a head coaching candidate and the Broncos come knocking, and you're looking at wanting to hit the ground running and give yourself right out of the gates the best possible chance to succeed, I think the Broncos are at the top of that list. And John Elway talked about it on Monday. He feels like they're still built to be a team in the hunt for the Super Bowl year in and year out. But there's no question they are missing that piece. They are now missing a leader at the head coaching level, and they need to find someone who can take care of that last major weakness, which is solidifying, bolstering, uncovering, whatever word you want to use to describe what the Broncos need to get out of their quarterback situation. Two potential filled guys in Paxton Lynch and Trevor Siemian, but they need those guys, whichever one it's going to be, to turn the corner sooner than later. And you can count on that being one of the primary factors in which John Elway and Joe Ellis and company go about qualifying guys for this opportunity. But that's all the time we have for today's episode. In the coming days, the weeks, the months, we're going to be breaking down everything as far as how the Broncos can improve in 2017. Stay tuned. Be sure to go follow at Locked On Broncos on Twitter. And you can find Luke in the Twitterverse at Luke Polglaze, myself at Chad N. Jensen. We want to hear from you, so hit us up. Check out the other killer podcasts on the network. I would point your attention to Locked On NFL Draft and Locked On NFL at this time of year. And don't forget to subscribe. For Luke, I'm Chad. We'll talk to you tomorrow.
Mile High Huddle.